Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
Boom! This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back. Part two of my interview with Andre Minkoff, talking about trademarks, why you should highly consider trademarking your idea today. We start with the question we left off with on part one of the podcast. If I wanted to, use it just my business as an example, but thinking more of you and your business, if I wanted to sell every day is Saturday, and it wasn't trademarked, would it be as valuable to a potential buyer? So we start with that question and move into some really cool stuff for the rest of this interview. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I did conducting the interview. Apologize some of the noise levels. We were doing it over the phone, and it's not as crisp of a recording. But focus on the content. It's pretty awesome stuff. Thanks. Here you go. Part two of the interview with Andre.
So if I wanted to sell every day is Saturday tomorrow and I didn't have a trademark, it wouldn't be worth as much as if I did, right?
Yeah, because you couldn't a successful brand really has two components to it. First, it must be attached to a successful business. So if you have a great brand, you use that brand to promote a business that sells stuff that nobody wants to buy, you have a problem. There's very little value to the brand, right? And the second part is how well you protect that brand against being stolen. So, again, if you have a great brand, have a great business, but everybody is infringing on your brand right and left, again, there's very little value when you decide to sell the business under that brand, because the buyer would be facing a situation when the whole market is pirating on the popularity of the brand. So Everyday Saturday, that's precisely what you want to do. Like, you want to build a successful podcast, which I congratulate you with, because what you're doing is absolutely amazing. It's a great name, very memorable. And so if you were to decide to sell the business, the more steps you take to police the playing ground to make sure that people don't use this to compete with you, this is how you bring up value to the brand. So if at some point in time you come up with a partner who's going to be doing, you know, half your podcast, and then they take over under the same brand, there's going to be way more value to the brand if it's trademarked.
Yeah. No, that makes sense, man. It makes a ton of sense. That's why I was wondering. I mean, you know, if somebody's listening right now and they're going to build a business and they don't trademark it, but they want to flip it or sell it or something like that, it's going to be worth less if you haven't gone through the motions to protect it.
Yeah, and again, it's not that investment is just beyond reach of most people. Like I said, most people spend more money on car insurance every year, and trademarks. The way I put it, it's the cheapest business insurance against brand identity theft that there ever is, because you pay once and it's good for 10 years. So if you break it down into, you know, years or months or days, it's nothing.
Yeah. We're talking to Andre Minkoff from TrademarkFactory.com. TrademarkFactory.com, fascinating conversation. I mean, but I got to tell you, the law sometimes, I mean, a lot of us, because this is what you do all day, every day. Some, for other people, it can be very intimidating. It sounds like definitely take that part out of the equation. But you're an entrepreneur, and you're not, you know, your native tongue is not U.S., it's not Canadian. How did you get started in the legal business? Like, what got you started down this road to become an entrepreneur, specifically in the trademark industry? It seems like such a very narrow niche.
My father. I lived in Russia for most of my life, and My father was a famous composer there, and I always, you know, wanted to get his approval and stuff. So I started doing music, but soon realized that I was not good enough to become a professional musician, even though I still love music, I still play music. So I decided to find a profession that's going to feed me when I grow up. And so I decided to become a lawyer. And I went to a law school and I hated it. I totally didn't see myself as a lawyer until one day he heard his music on the radio advertising Samsung without his permission. And he called the radio station and told them that they couldn't steal his music, and they told him to sit down, shut up, and wait till they make him even more famous.
Was this in Russia he heard this, or where was
it? Yeah, it was in Russia 20 years ago. As you can imagine, he wasn't very happy with that response. So he told them, okay, I'll see you in court. He slams down the phone, and his next thought is, okay, so who's going to take this to court? Because Russia has just transitioned from its socialist copyright laws to free market copyright laws, and really there weren't any lawyers who knew the new system. So he asked me if I wanted to help him with that. And well, the upside was, again, I always wanted to seek his approval, and that was a good opportunity. There were two problems, actually three problems. First problem is I had no idea about copyright laws, literally none. My second problem was I had no idea what to do in a courtroom. And my biggest problem was that there was no Google for me to find advice how to do it. So I had to figure things out on my own. And so we took them to court. I ripped them apart, and then they bought the judge, and we lost.
They bought the judge? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they bought the judge. We got probably one of the craziest judgments I've ever read. But I was sitting in my room after getting that judgment with the judgment in my hand, and I will remember this moment for the rest of my life. My dad came to my room, and he asked me, "So what are you going to do now?" And I said, "I have no idea, because I think I've done everything I should have done. I said all the right things. I have no idea what I should have done any differently. And even if I did things differently, this decision makes absolutely no sense. So it doesn't matter what I would have, could have, should have said, because the judge just wrote their decision without even listening to anybody." And he said, "If you're not going to appeal this, you should quit your law school and find yourself another profession." Huh. That was the moment I became an IP lawyer, right? And we appealed this and we lost. We appealed it even higher to first one instance short of Supreme Court of Russia. So again, mind you, that's my very first case going from all the way down to all the way up, right? And eventually we won there, and I became really passionate about protecting intellectual property because I saw firsthand what it means to have your IP stolen from you. I saw what it means, what it does to your focus. I saw what it does to your thoughts. I saw what it does to you as a person. So I didn't want to allow people who gift us all of their brilliant, you know, songs, videos, programs, all the stuff that didn't exist before they came up with this, I wanted to give them a way to protect their stuff from people who just want to take advantage of them. And I've done work for my dad, and then I joined one of the biggest the biggest international law firm, where I did work for all the dream clients any lawyer can think of, you know, the Googles, the Microsofts, the Apples of the world. And in 2007, I realized that I didn't want to live in Russia anymore. So me and my wife and my kid, we moved to Canada because it was the easiest place to immigrate, where I could at least have a chance of getting my lawyer license, where I could speak English. That's what happened. So I got my license here. And when I went to Canadian law school, I said to myself, "Andre, you really want to be open-minded to all other areas of law, because you really don't know if you're so passionate about intellectual property because it's the only area of law that is interesting to you, or because it just so happened because of your dad." And I was very open-minded to everything, and I hated it open-mindedly. But whenever it had anything to do with IP, with trademarks, with the copyright, with patent, even though I don't do patents, I was still interested in that. So I was blessed to be able to go back to doing what I love to do best, and I started my firm that owned intellectual property in 2011, and now we're transitioning from that law firm to a company that is not a law firm, but that would still help business owners around the globe to register their trademarks at a single flat fee with 100% money back guarantee. And that was really the breakthrough idea that I had with Trademark Factory, because I wanted to make trademarks simple for business owners. I don't wanted them to pay hourly rates. I didn't want them to get an invoice every time I sneeze on their file, because to them, trademarks are binary. Again, you either get it or you don't. So we created a system that makes it extremely simple. There's a free search, there's a flat fee that you know right up front, and there is a 100% money back guarantee if we told you we think your trademark is registrable and it doesn't get approved.
That's amazing. So your passion in trademark and intellectual property began, like most people who go after a passion, it was a very, I'd say probably emotional, but it was close to the vet. It was something that happened with your father, just like what happened with my daughter, you know, saying daddy is tomorrow Saturday. Isn't that amazing that your vision and my vision and almost every other entrepreneur, when they finally discover their passion in life, it was something that really struck an emotional chord. And that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But I mean, look, we are human beings. We're more than just what we do. And I think what we are determines partially what we do, but most importantly, it determines why we do it and how we do it.
Yeah, how you do it, exactly, with how much. I mean, you won that case all one step removed from the Russian Supreme Court. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Can you share the reward or the money or that field or what that you won on behalf of your father? What
the well, the amount was ridiculously low, but at that time it was something noticeable. I mean, look, it was 1996, I think, then when we finally got that judgment, and you know, Russia was not in the best shape economically, so getting a few thousand dollars then meant a lot. But most importantly, it was a precedent, right? Because that was the first time in Russia's history when an author sued a radio station for modifying their work into a commercial without getting permission, because they were, you know, they had all sorts of arguments why they didn't have to ask permission and they didn't have to pay. And it was more about the principle than it was about the money. And I think it was like $2,000 or $3,000. So again, the number is ridiculously low. It wasn't about the money, but it set, and really it changed the way all the radio stations and TV stations started doing their business, because they realized that they are vulnerable if they don't seek those permissions. So
amazing.
It was pretty cool for somebody who's never done this before.
How old were you when you were in the courtroom then?
I'm 20.
You were 20?
Yeah, starts. Yeah.
Wow.
In Russia you don't have to be a member of the bar to represent clients in a courtroom unless it's a criminal case. And you're gonna laugh at that. For 9 years of my practice, I didn't own a suit. I never owned a suit. I was wearing jeans in a courtroom. I had my hair up to my elbows. I had really long hair. Absolutely. And the funniest thing about it was that it gave me such a tremendous unfair advantage, because nobody took me seriously until it was too late. So they would look, oh, yeah, okay, this kid, right, let him talk. And by the time I finished delivering my message to the judge, they really had to regroup and figure out what do we do now, because he said all those things that we really can't counter. And for many times that we had cases where it was multi-day litigation, so they would start with one team of lawyers, and the next day a different team of lawyers would show up. Right? But it was almost too funny until closer to the you know, probably eighth or maybe seventh year of my practice there, I became one of the top IP lawyers in the country, so it was very difficult to hide behind that. And that's really when I joined this biggest international law firm, and they told me, Andre, it's probably time for you to start looking like a lawyer. And that's when I had to buy my first suit and my first tie. I still don't know how to tie a tie. My wife ties the ties for me. Right? So, yeah, but
hilarious. That, like, I'm trying to picture in the court, who's this little punk who's coming in here with a long hair and no suit, jeans, and thinks he's, oh, my God, that would have been a trip, man.
Ask me, remind me to send you a photograph of my driving license from back there. It's just hilarious. I have, like, I look like a metalhead, like, with all the hair in my face. It's pretty funny.
Oh, my so. God. That's a, I'm gonna have to see that photo, especially knowing you now. You know, clean cut, short hair. You know, that's pretty funny, man. That's pretty funny. So
yeah.
That's cool, man. Hey, we're chatting with Andre Minkoff from TrademarkFactory.com. TrademarkFactory.com. Okay, you got me sold, man. Seriously, now you got me sold that we need trademark. We need a trademark, and I'm listening to Sam's podcast, and Andre's got me hooked. What's the next step? Like, how do I just connect with you? And I don't want the hard sell, but I really like that free search you're going to do for me just to see if I even have anything that's trademarkable. I'm listening to the podcast. You sold me, Andre. What's the next step to get in touch with you?
So the next step, open your browser and type freetmsearch.com. So freetmsearch, TM for trademark, freetmsearch.com. It will get you to the page of our website where you fill out the form. Telling us what the trademark is. You can upload logos. You can type in multiple trademarks. Tell us a little bit what your business is about, because, again, we can't tell you if your trademark is registrable unless we understand how it connects to the particular products and services that you're offering. But after that, we're just going to do the search for you. You're going to schedule a call for us to call you, and we're going to walk you through our findings at absolutely no charge to you. Even if it's registrable, if for some reason you don't want to do business with us, that's fine. All we're asking for is you have to at least have some genuine interest in maybe pursuing the trademarking if it's trademarkable. Again, you don't have to do it with us, but we're asking you to not kick tires and send us, hundreds of requests just for the fun of it.
No, exactly. So you're going to submit. They're going to go to freetmsearch.com. Is that right?
Yep.
And then they're going to fill out the form so you can actually do the work ahead of time, which is amazing. You're going to do that at no charge to let them know what you find. Then you're going to jump on the phone for a half hour and give them a consultation. Still, at no charge, no obligation, but don't just send in your trade name or trademark just because you heard the podcast. You're seriously thinking about doing it. And then the next step is they can make a decision if they want to pursue the trademark and hire you to get rocking and rolling.
Yeah, and we have several packages, all of which are very clear to understand. And really, Sam, you went through the same process, right? So it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think what we've built makes it very simple for us to do it for strangers, as well as it's simple for us to do it for people that we know, right? So when you asked me, well, Andre, can you look into this for me? I said, sure, just fill out the form, and that's what you did. And we did the search, and we had a phone call, and then you clicked a few buttons, and all of that was automated, and we're just working on your trademark now. So that's really the beauty of the simplicity of the Trademark Factory process.
Yeah, that's what really got me. Besides, we connected well at the live event when we met. Great personality, good guy to hang out with. But then when I saw how easy your system was for something as complicated, at least in my mind, as a trademark, that's when I said, you know what, I got to get you on the show. Because of all the people that listen to my podcast, there's definitely individuals that would be well served to hire you and help them protect their intellectual property and their trademark as well. So with that being said, I know, one last question. I asked you this question when we were talking. I said, well, why don't I just go to LegalZoom, something like that, and just start my trademark and get going? That seems pretty simple. Point, click, I'm done. What's the difference between what you do and what, like, a LegalZoom does?
Yeah, so there's several websites like that. There's LegalZoom, there's Trademarkia, and a few others. And they're the ones that will offer you to trademark Microsoft software solutions. Right? And so there's two things with that. First of all, they are done performing the service for you after they file the application. So they're not going to go take you through the whole process, whereas our all-inclusive fee covers everything from start to finish. Second, they position themselves as software, not as a legal service. So they are essentially filing what you tell them to file. All right? And if you don't really know what you're doing, they're going to file the trademark according to what you told them. Whereas with us, you're getting the full scope of service. You get proper advice. We're going to draft the application for you, and we're going to file it for you. So these are really the differences. For us, the end result, which we promise and we guarantee, is you getting through the whole process. For them, it's you pay us $199 or $299 or $150. That doesn't matter really what the number is. We're going to file your application. Filing an application is the easiest part of the process. So there are many moving parts to it. And so there is a search, there's the drafting of the application, there's filing of the application, and then after it's filed, it gets to a trademark examiner. And by the way, in the U.S., the whole thing takes about 14 months. In Canada, it takes about 18 months. So it's not like a domain name where you file it and you're done. There's a lot of things happening in the background. So when it gets to the trademark examiner, they're either going to approve it or they're going to reject it. And if they reject it, you have to fight with them to try to convince them that the application should be registered, or you tweak it in a way that they're going to find it acceptable. And so LegalZoom and Trademarkia don't cover that with their fee. So what they're going to do is, if there's an office action, they're going to say, well, unfortunately, it didn't go through. We can refer you to a law firm that will help you with that at an hourly charge. And it just happens to be a law firm set up by the same people. All right? So essentially, they are getting paid more to file bad applications. Right. I'm not saying that that's the design of it, because there are many trademarks that they successfully help people register. So it's better than nothing. Right. So don't get me wrong. It's better to get a trademark through LegalZoom than to not do it at all. The problem with that is there is no certainty as to the budget, because it may start with $200 and end up being $7,000 if you just keep paying all those hourly rates to fix the application. And again, they're not really telling you whether the thing gets registrable or not properly. So that's the difference, right? Do you want the surgeon to just cut you up and then hopefully it will somehow heal itself, or do you want somebody to take care of the entire process from start to finish?
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a no-brainer. That's a rhetorical question. You know, you can't leave. Once you get started down any path, this or anything in business, maybe you ought to finish it. You just can't say, oh, well, we looked, and, you know, it needs a little bit more work, so we'll refer you here or there. So, Andre, thanks, man. TrademarkFactory.com. Connect with Andre. You're going to be happy. Look, he's got a heart of gold. He's going to take care of you, and he knows what he's talking about relative to protecting your intellectual property. Andre, it's been fun, man. I appreciate you coming on the show today. I know the listeners are going to get a ton of value. So thank you so much for just delivering today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. I really, really appreciate it. I knew we took a bit more time than we planned, but I hope it's useful for your listeners.
Oh, yeah. Look, man, it's awesome. I mean, I would have, you know, we could have shut it down probably 30 minutes ago, but it was so interesting. I mean, why would you want to stop talking about something that's going to help people? And look, the listeners always decide, man. I listen to the show or I don't listen. Show, but something tells me a lot of individuals listening to this podcast today are going to get a lot of knowledge, number one, and connect with you, you know, to protect what's rightfully theirs. I mean, that's no joke. So I look forward to doing business with you, buddy. It's Andre Minkoff from TrademarkFactory.com. Make sure you connect with Andre. And as always, it's Sam Crowley. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.